Hello, you guys. What is up? Welcome back to Gals on the Go podcast. It's your girl, Danielle, and only Danielle today. It's been a minute since I've been on here solo. I'm missing you, Brooke. One day we will reunite, but I'm excited about this week's episode. If you guys listened to last week's episode, Brooke had her parents on, Sal and Adina. I love them both so much. She has such an amazing family. And this week I'm having my parents on, Michelle and Fred, and I think it's going to be really fun. Well, we already recorded their segment, and I just love how it came out. We talked about their childhood and upbringings, and we talked a little bit about, so if you guys didn't know, my parents are divorced. They got separated when I was in fifth grade, and they've been divorced now for a while, but we have stayed so close. If you watch my videos on YouTube, which you definitely should, youtube.com/DanielleCarolyn, a lot of people didn't even realize they were divorced because my dad's always over at our house. We've done trips together. We've remained very close as a family, which I am very, very, very thankful for. And a lot of people are so curious. So they speak a little bit on that. They kind of roast me. They tell some funny stories about me. We talk about, you know, where they see me in 5 years, all that fun stuff. But I thought it'd be fun to do a little intro on my own, kind of check in with you guys. This is actually the last episode of Gals on the Go until 2021, which I am so excited about, to be honest. Like, 2021, let's go. So exciting. A little life update. So I'm home now. I live in Tampa, Florida, and we just got a puppy. If you follow me on Instagram, you would know. I mean, like, it's very apparent. Probably every other photo I post is with him. We got a golden doodle. He's a medium-sized golden doodle. A lot of people are asking because they're standard, mini. He's a medium golden doodle. He's like this beautiful apricot color, which has always been like my dream dog. If you guys didn't know, 2 years around Christmas time, actually, our puppy. Our dog Miley passed away. She was a labradoodle. It was literally so sad. It's taken us, we're still not over her, honestly, but we're finally ready. It's been 2 years to bring a new puppy into our family, and obviously, as much as I'd love my own dog, it was more of a family decision because I'm just in no place right now to be taking care of a puppy because I'm a senior in high school. Oh my God. I'm a senior in college, and I'll probably be moving to New York City. And I just would love him to have a home, you know, like a house with a backyard. And, you know, my mom and her boyfriend are very ready to have a dog again. So I got them the dog for Christmas, I guess you could say. But I've been crate training him. He's been sleeping in my room pretty much every night. And he's just amazing. His name is Finley. It took us about 5 days to name him, maybe a little longer, because we just had all these ideas. My favorite was Teddy. My brother's favorite was Costa. My mom, dad, and boyfriend's favorite was Finley. It's hard. Actually, no, they all ended up liking Teddy the most, but Finley was the only one all five of us could agree on. It's really hard when you have a lot of people. I mean, obviously my dad was like, it's not necessarily my dog, so you guys can kind of do whatever, but also like he is going to be helping take care of it. And again, we have this interesting family dynamic where we all are very close. So we wanted to all like the name, obviously. So yeah, his name's Finley, Finn for short. When he's on the boat, we're going to call him Finn, like a dolphin, you know. He's actually right next to me sleeping on his little bed. He basically pees, sleeps, and plays. There's all the pees. There's one S in there. But yeah, he'll basically play for like 30 minutes, fall asleep for an hour, and then we immediately have to take him to go to the bathroom. It's really nice, though. He's really just brought so much joy to our house this December, and I'm so thankful for him. So if you guys want to see all the photos, all the content, I have a vlog. One of my vlogmases was going to pick him up. So on my YouTube channel, Danielle Carolyn, and then also my Instagram, at Danielle Carolyn. I just posted a picture today, actually, and the caption was Pup on the Go, because he came to Starbucks with me and my brother, and he is a photogenic dog. I really can't lie. And that is not why we got him. I just want to preface this by saying our family, so Miley was obviously a labradoodle. We have always loved doodles. Like, we knew, like, after Miley, we were like only having doodles from now on. We really didn't consider other dogs because they're hypoallergenic, which was really important to us because we have some family members, including myself. I used to have a allergy problem. I've kind of grown out of it, actually. But we have always loved doodles, and it's cool that they're trendy now and everything, but we've always been OGs. So we didn't just get a golden doodle to be trendy. I feel like some people think that, and that's just not it at all. They just happen to be beautiful and awesome, and just, they're such good dogs. But yeah, other than that, my semester just wrapped up. I killed it in the grade department this semester. I'm really, really proud of myself on that end. Finals ended up really well. I'm home for the next couple weeks, and then we head back to school for my last semester literally ever, which is, I really can't even talk about that right now. That'll be another episode in the future. But yeah, I've just been kind of hanging out. It's been a lot of really good family time. Honestly, just like hanging with the pup. Like, my morning routine this recently has been wake up at like 7 a.m., take him out because that's usually when he cries, when he's in his crate, ready to go to the bathroom. And then my mom will take him. I'll go back to sleep until like 9. Then I get up and I have a cup of coffee or two and sit in the living room, put the Yule log on and do my Doing Well daily planner and sit there with him until probably like literally 1, because he really can't be alone. Like, someone kind of always has to be with him unless he's like asleep, and you always have to like keep your eye on him. It's like having a newborn for sure. But I've also just really gotten into fashion recently. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm home and I'm not at school, because at school everyone just kind of wears sweatpants and everything, which sweatpants are obviously in right now, and that's a whole vibe. But I've just really been, every day I kind of challenge myself in my closet and I'm like, what can I do today? What kind of outfit can I put together? And I've just been having so much fun with it, with my little outfit. So again, one more plug, follow me on Instagram at Danielle Carolyn. I've been posting my outfit of the days pretty much every day. So that's been fun. But anyways, that's kind of the catch up on my life. All is well here. I've been spinning a lot on the Peloton and I'm very, very happy to be home. I feel like I always have this like different kind of glow when I'm at home. I don't know what it is. Other people tell me that too. It's just like Florida, sunshine. I'm very, very, very thankful to be from here, to live here. And we had an amazing holiday season, and I hope that you guys did too. And I've just been reflecting on this past year, and wow, it's been a year, and there's been ups, there's been downs, but I seriously love you guys so much. I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm so thankful for Brooke. I love Gals on the Go, and I'm so, so excited to continue on next year. So without further ado, let's get on into the business of the week. Business of the week. All right, you guys. So I actually want to tell you about this business that my friend Zara created herself. We actually went on a Daniel Wellington trip last year. She was one of the influencers, like plus ones, and she was like the coolest person ever. We bonded and I had so much fun with her. And so we've kind of kept in touch, and she recently created this business called Soulful Seeds, where she promotes a sustainable life and style that doesn't hurt the planet, its people, or your wallet. She understands that thrifting can be super overwhelming and time consuming. So she offers sustainable style consulting services, you guys, where she curates a package of thrifted clothes specifically for you based on your style. You can find her on Instagram at soulful_seeds and at soulfulseedsblog.com. You can sign up for a completely free consultation call where you talk about the style services and how she can help you create a closet you love, with the link that I'll have in the description below in the, you know, show notes. You guys can check that out. She is such a sweet, amazing person. She's always doing the best things for this world, I swear, and it's very, very inspiring. I love this idea, so you guys should totally go check her out. Again, the Instagram is at soulful, like soul, you know, soulful_seeds, and it's also soulfulseedsblog.com. All right, let's get on into the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
So my tip this week is, so last week was the winter solstice, the great conjunction, basically December 21st. Oh my gosh. I was so emotional that day. I felt so funky, like vibes were not right. I posted an Instagram story and everyone was like, literally same. So it made me feel better. However, basically what I did was I went out back to my backyard, took my journal, my It's Okay journal that Katie Bly designed, and basically wrote down, first I did a page of letting things go, releasing things, releasing negative thoughts I had, any worries, just putting it out onto paper because it was just sticking in my brain and I couldn't stop thinking about it all, and it was just gross. I hated it, but so I wrote it all out and I just left it on that paper. And then after I did that, kind of vibed out with that, I went to my next page and wrote down my intentions for 2021. I set my intentions, specific goals, specific intentions I had, which Brooke and I are going to get more into next week. So stay tuned for that. But then I just felt so much better the next day. I felt right. I felt better after that. Not completely better, but then the next day, I just feel like I let go a lot of that stuff into the past, into this year, leaving it all behind and going forward with new intentions. And I really suggest you guys do that. I know some people don't enjoy journaling as much, but I have found it to be so therapeutic. And last but not least, let's get on into current favorite.
These are a few of my favorite things. Don't mess up one of my favorite things.
Okay, you guys, my current favorite is so basic of me at this point since they've become so popular, but I don't even care. Claw clips. I have a claw clip in my hair right now. I can't believe I'm even saying this because I feel like claw clips were something we used when I was like probably like 8, 9, or 10. That was like the style. And then I used to be like, why did I ever wear my hair like that? And here we are again. I have been loving claw clips. They elevate any outfit, in my opinion. And I don't know. I just have been really enjoying having my hair out of my face. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's since I recently did that little hair change. I basically did a root smudge, so it's darker, but then I have these two super blonde pieces in the front. I just love the way that looks when it's like slicked back. I basically just slick my hair back in a middle part and then claw clip it in the back. And it just, I literally will put on an outfit. Sometimes I'm like, it's not as cute unless I do a claw clip. It's crazy. And it's just nice when I want my hair out of my face, and it helps me to use less heat on my hair when I use the claw clip. So I don't know. The one I'm wearing right now is from Urban Outfitters. I love it, but they have a ton on Amazon. I literally bought my first claw clip at literally CVS. You know, they sell them everywhere. There's no shortage of them. Boutiques are starting to carry them now as well. So yeah, get yourself a claw clip. So yeah, that is it for the intro. I hope you guys are excited. I'm so excited to have my mom and dad on. I'm so thankful that they were willing to. It's the coolest thing, my family dynamic, and I'm really excited to kind of share that with you guys. Without further ado, let's get on into the episode. Thank you. All right, you guys. So I'm here with my parents. Say hello.
Hi, girls.
Hey, everybody.
We are sitting around the dining room table. So excited. This is so cool to have you both here. So I thought it would be a really cool way to start off the podcast by kind of talking about your childhood, where you grew up, where you were born, and how you came to be, kind of. So, Dad, you want to start?
Okay. And hi, guys, too. I was born a long, long time ago.
Oh my gosh, Dad.
After World War II.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I was born in Brooklyn to an Italian and Irish family. My parents were first generation Americans. And we lived upstairs from my grandmother in Brooklyn. And at age 7, my parents saved up enough money to buy a house out on Long Island, and I was raised on Long Island. A big thing that influenced my childhood was that when I was 13, my father had a heart attack and tried to go back to work, but he had a blue-collar job that required a lot of physical exertion and a lot of traveling into New York City on subways and trains, and he just, unfortunately, back then, the treatment for heart attacks wasn't as good. So he went on disability, and the family really had to struggle for a while. We all had to do this homework that we got paid for, and my mother went and got a job, and we survived, and they were able to keep their house. But it really affected me as a child. And then I went to graduate high school, and because we were, you know, considered low income, I got lots of financial aid, and I was able to go to good colleges. I went to Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. Shout out to Worcester.
What's your mascot? Do you guys have a mascot? Like Go Dogs?
I think it was a cougar.
But you don't know? Go Cougars!
I think it was the Clark Cougars.
Clark Cougars.
It was a while ago, sweetie. So, and then I was pre-med, And
Pre-Med Fred.
Yeah, they called me Pre-Med Fred. And then had a really good time in college. And I tell you, people from Massachusetts, like a lot of the kids were from Massachusetts. They were good people. And shout out to New England. But we have Tom Brady now, guys.
Yes.
But anyway, then I went to medical school, University of Rochester, which is in upstate New York, and had a great time there and graduated and did my medical internship at Rochester General Hospital in Rochester, obviously. And then I went to Stony Brook, New York, a university, State University of New York at Stony Brook, and did 4 years of radiology residency. And even lived a couple years at my parents' house during that time. And then I went to Boston, Tufts University, New England Medical Center, and did a year of fellowship training in magnetic resonance imaging. And that was a really fun year. My final year in Boston, training in Boston was just so much fun. There were so many young people. And then it was job hunting time, and my parents had sold the house on Long Island and moved to Florida. And I decided to give Florida a chance because I'm a family-oriented person, and I wanted to see if I can find a job down here. And I've been here for 30 years. And really, my decision to come to Florida had something to do with you existing.
Thank goodness. It is so cool, though. You and Brooke have lived in all the same places, Boston and New York, Long Island, the city kind of. Brooklyn kind of counts as the city.
Yeah, well, you know, we share that Italian heritage, I guess.
I know. It's so crazy.
So that's me in a nutshell. I would say my reason to become a physician was I saw how much my father was affected. And he ended up having open heart surgery in New York City by a famous Dr. Frank Spencer, who pioneered open heart surgery back then in the 1970s, I guess it was. And he did really well, and he lived for almost 25 more years. And so I really saw the benefit of what doctors could do for people. And I wanted to be a cardiologist. But when I got to medical school, I realized I didn't really like some of the things that cardiologists had to do to become cardiologists. And so I found radiology, and I really like radiology.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I feel like most people know, but what's your day-to-day like as a radiologist? Like, you know, what do you do?
Well, you know, radiology, what we do is medical imaging, and which has become, you know, intricate in patient care. I mean, if you come to the emergency room with any kind of significant symptom, you're going to get medical imaging, whether it's an X-ray, an ultrasound, a CAT scan, MRI scan, you know, something. And so we, you know, the technologists take those images. Per our direction, we give them kind of a protocol on what they do for different possible diseases. And then the images come across on a big workstation where I'm sitting, and I interpret them, give a report, goes out immediately.
You sit in your dark room.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that dark anymore. You know, the first half of my career, it was kind of a dark room. It was literally looking at X-rays in a view box, a light box.
Because I feel like when I visited you, it was like a darker room.
Well, it's still, they still tend to put radiologists in rooms without windows. we always have an inner room, you know, not near the periphery of the hospital. It's kind of a tradition.
I know sometimes you'll text us and be like, is it raining out? I don't know. Yeah. We're like, yes, it is raining.
We don't know if it's thundering or lightning or if there's a hurricane going on. We have no idea. But so we interpret the imaging and you know, and then we do procedures. You know, the obvious ones are things like barium enemas and upper GI and fluoroscopy, but we also do injections into joints for treatment, and we do angiograms and we do biopsies. You know, we do all the breast imaging, breast biopsies. Breast cancer is basically diagnosed by radiologists these days. And we do treatments. We freeze tumors in the kidneys and in the liver. We do angioplasty and stent placement, except for the heart. We don't do the heart. Cardiologists take care of the heart. We put in lines and ports in cancer patients so they can get their chemotherapy. We do lots of things that people don't realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I actually learned a lot in that little segment as well. Well, now let's
save lives.
Yes, you're saving lives every day, Daddy-O. Now let's hand the mic off to Peaceful Michelle. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, gosh, that was quite... Let me see. Well, I've already done a podcast, so some of this I've already said, but
yeah,
I guess we'll...
I'd say you just do it.
Yeah, reestablish. So I was born in a small town in southern Illinois, actually, and Danielle will talk about that. I still have family there, so we go for family reunions every summer. Very beautiful, little, quaint hometown. And I moved to Florida when I was in grade school. When my parents divorced, they were very young. They got married because that was the thing to do. And they were only married just a few years. And so we decided to, when they divorced, we moved to Florida because the weather apparently was too hard on me, I guess. I was young and it was I didn't like the cold weather as an infant. So, And then continued on. So we moved to Florida, and my mom had some sisters that lived in Florida. So actually we lived in Ocala first, which was some great childhood memories because we lived in the forest because her older sister had retired, and it was just amazing to live in this little cabin in the woods for a while. Then my mom is a young woman, she needed more employment opportunities. So we moved to Tampa, and then that's where I lived from there on forward. Let's see, what else am I talking about?
So you basically did high school here.
Okay, yes. So I did that. And then I went on to college and stayed locally. They were giving scholarships actually to high school students that had done well locally. So myself and another friend, we decided to stay and we went to the University of Tampa. And I got my degree in accounting, mostly because I was really good in numbers and liked the finance world. Plus I knew I could get out and make a good living. So, you know, after growing up pretty modestly with a mom that I watched, you know, that didn't, she had an associate's degree, she had 2-year degree. So she was always big on, you know, get your education and make sure you take care. And I did that. And then I actually went to work for the Department of Defense as an auditor. And I did that for 10 years. There's a lot of defense contractors in the area. So while I was working, I went to school at night and got my MBA, my Master's of Business Administration, which was awesome because they actually paid for it, and that worked out really well. And that's it. That's a condensed version. But I'll have to say, growing up, I would spend the school year here in Florida and then the summers in Illinois. So,
and you started going on planes when you were really young, right?
Very
young. Because your dad, too.
My dad was a pilot. He just had, you know, he could fly small planes. So we would, when I was still living in Illinois or whatever, he would fly back and forth to get me to come visit. And then commercial flights eventually when we moved to Florida. So that, yeah, that's back when kids didn't really fly that much. It was a big deal to put a youngster on a plane. And like my parents could literally walk onto the plane and put me in my seat, you know, make sure I was all settled. And then, you know, I'd get to be by the stewardesses.
You're
and
the
get
cool
all
girl.
The, yeah. All the wings and the coloring books and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. I just think this is cool. What was, you know, what was one of the cool things you did in high school? What were you the captain of?
Oh, my gosh. I was the head cheerleader. I was the captain of the cheerleading team. And my very best friend still to this day was the co-captain. Shout out to Lori. And that was a lot of fun years. She was the one that actually we went on and went to college together. So, yeah, good times for sure.
I know.
Lots of fun.
That inspired me to want to be a cheerleader, and that lasted a year. So that you can take the cake on that one.
Yeah. Well, it's not for everybody, you know, but I'm, you know, you got to try it and then see. And then you went on more to like, you like the managing part of it. You like to be on the field with the football players, which I get. That would be fun. They didn't even have such a thing. So
yeah, I didn't know it existed. Well, very cool. It's a really cool background on both of you.
Oh, gosh. But I didn't say. So,
Then you worked for the Department of... You have more to go.
Yeah. Then I decided to... So so Fred and I got married, and then we had, you know, I still continued to work. And then eventually when the kids started coming, I made the decision, because we could stay home. And I'm so grateful I was able to do that. And then that's when I found my love of yoga and meditation. And then that's what I've continued to do. That's definitely my passion, and grateful to still continue to do that.
Cool. So yeah, good job, Mom. There. Good job, Dad.
There's a condenser.
Yeah. And I did do a podcast with my mom as well, but she teaches Kundalini, kids yoga, yoga nidra. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, meditation, prenatal yoga.
Now she's doing a lot of like Zoom virtual yoga classes too. Very cool.
For the school system, for the teachers and for the students. So love that.
Cool. Okay, so that's a good background on the both of you. And obviously now we're all sitting here together, which we do all the time. People always ask, like, oh my gosh, you guys like go on trips and stuff together, you know, as a family. And I'm obviously really thankful. And I feel like it's because you guys just like communicate well, and you guys are just pals. Like, you just, you know, you've known each other for so long. So you're like, let's just, you know, make it work. So how do you guys stay friends? Like, what are your practices? Dad goes, take it, Mom.
I think the best way to say this is, throughout all of this, we made the decision that, you know, we're still family and we have kids together. And so there was an importance to maintain a friendship for that. And so we took our time, and the second home was bought relatively close, well, within walking distance. There was a lot of things that went on to make the transition as simpler as you know, as possible, but just making that decision. And it takes both people to make that decision, that both mm-hmm. want to maintain some harmony and all of that. And that's just continued to grow, and we're grateful for it. And do you have anything to add to that? Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not a goal, but my desire after getting separated and later divorced was that the children didn't experience anything negative from that. And so all of my decisions kind of was based on the least impact for the children. And that basically led to us continuing to act like a family for the most part.
Yeah.
And going on trips together and having all of holidays together.
Yeah, that's big.
And I kind of took pride in the fact that some of your friends in high school didn't even realize that Mom and I was divorced.
They didn't.
Because every time they came here for things, we were both here. And,
I know.
And we would go to high school events together and sit mm-hmm. together. And so that was my goal. I didn't want you guys to have any negative consequence from us getting divorced.
Well, I'd say you guys did a pretty good job of it, because I'm very thankful, because I'll have friends talk to me and be like, you are so lucky. Like, my dad will, you know, drop me off at a parking lot to meet with my mom, and then he'll drive away and then I go with her. Like, that's, you know, everyone's got their own situation. So I'm definitely thankful for you guys.
Well, you, like I said, it takes both people to agree to do
right.
that. And you've got to like step out of, be patient, mm-hmm. and you've got to look at you got to hold the bigger picture intact.
Because didn't you guys say, like, sometimes, like, family friends would, like, you know, felt, like, judged a little bit or something? People
sure.
would kind of ask you, like, well, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, sure. And not everybody's able to, but there's other people that do this. I, in my travels, run mm-hmm. across other families that have, you know, made transitions, but they're still keep certain family traditions and togetherness. You know, I mean, once you have children together, that's your family. I mean, you're connected, and then it's your decision how you decide to work from that point forward. So, but it takes both people, like I said, and what is the least impact, you know, for the children, to keep that in mind. So,
no, yeah, I just had to
do our best.
Yeah, you guys did do your best. It was so funny. I remember the day you told Freddie and I that you guys were separating, and it was like, okay, so we're going to Busch Gardens today, the amusement park, but we're going to have a family meeting first. And Freddie and I were like, what the heck? But you guys did that because you wanted to show, like, so you guys told us, and you're like, but we're going to Busch Gardens. But it was to show Freddie and I that, like, you guys were serious about, you know, still going places as a family. And, you know, I look back at it and laugh, because then Freddie and I were so not in a good mood that day. But,
I know,
but well. No, it's funny, and you guys stuck to your word. And I'm so, so, so thankful for that. So,
Yeah, that was advice too. We had been already going to counseling,
reading books
and talking about it. And they had said, you know, have something like right away that you still continue to do together.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I was in fifth grade because I feel like I remember that. And then, yeah, so, but it doesn't feel like it's been, like, it doesn't, it's just like,
it's been a long time ago now.
Yeah. But it's all been so great. And I'm so thankful for that. So I just wanted to touch on that because people are just so curious. So I couldn't just not talk about that.
Could be the new way.
Yeah. The new way. It's inspiring for me for sure. So yeah, that's a little bit on that. And then a lot of people just had some questions for you guys. A little tea on Danielle, if you will. I'm sure. Well, you guys have known me the longest out of literally anybody. So
day one,
longer than Freddie, my brother. If you guys didn't know, I have a brother who is 19, about to turn 20, literally about to turn 20. So crazy. I know. So let's do some roasting on me. What's something that I did maybe as a kid or something that's kind of the family joke now? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, I remember when we when you were taking acting lessons in Tampa and were chosen to go to Las Vegas for a talent scout, kind of, there were going to be all these scouts.
Oh my gosh!
out there who were going to sign you up and give you an acting career, and you did various skits and stuff out there, and the scouts.
I got some callbacks.
Were watching, mm-hmm. And then we had to go around and meet with some of them who were interested in you. And
I made the decision of bringing you. I don't know why I did this.
Yeah. And the first thing they asked me was, so you're willing to move to Los Angeles? And
Let me pause. Yes. Yeah, so my talent coach or whatever, I forgot what he was called, my acting coach was told the parents, if they ask if you're going to move to LA, just say yes, even if you don't plan to, because otherwise they literally won't consider you.
Yeah. Well, I missed that. So that's the first thing they asked. And I said, well, look, I'm a physician. I got to practice in Florida. I can't just move to Los Angeles. And Danielle was like, oh, she was upset. But I didn't get the memo on that one.
Oh, my God. It was so mad. He's like, I mean, no, come on. And I'm like, dude. So, but, you know, in a way it worked out because when I was younger, I wanted to be an actor, an actress, like be on TV. And in a way, I kind of have gotten to do that, but be myself instead of playing a character. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. You always wanted to be a performer, and I think the acting maybe didn't work out like you might have imagined as a young girl, mm-hmm. but you found your way to perform and be out there. And, you know, what you do now definitely fits what your desires were as a young girl.
Mom, do you have any other funny things?
Well, we had told you were interested in, you know, starting to record yourself and social media and all that stuff. And you got to remember, this was that like 10 years ago or something?
10, probably a little more.
Yeah. And so we weren't even really sure what YouTube and Facebook, all that was so new. But you really wanted to do it, at least for the social media part of it, the Facebook. So you didn't make an account for yourself, but you just made one for our dog at the time, Miley. So
they said one. I couldn't have a Facebook. Right.
So that started it. And then even with YouTube, I think.
How did you guys find out I had a YouTube? I have no idea.
It was pretty shortly after because we actually held you off for like a year. Mm-hmm. And said, you cannot put anything out there. Because we just, what is that YouTube? You know, which is so new and different and all that. And so obviously good thing that you went ahead and just started posting and we got on board because here we wouldn't be right here today. So, but, you know, we had to come along. We weren't sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel like I wasn't really like a rule breaker when I was younger. Like I actually don't ever remember getting grounded. Maybe you took away my computer at times.
No, you're very rule
I don't
follower.
Remember.
But it just goes to show when you have such a burning desire that was such your passion that like you couldn't help not create, you know? Yeah. And that's the one thing why I think you're so good at what you do is because it truly is you. Like you're just, you do it because you love it and it just comes from inside and you just want to create and put things out there. And that's how you've been since you were a young girl. So I think you're being very genuine and true to yourself. So good for you. And that's what Fred and I wanted for our kids, because we had kind of harder upbringings and, you know, definitely more modest. And we wanted our kids to be able to do things that they loved and follow their passions. And
well, I appreciate it, Freddie. I like your golf outfit.
How we all do it.
Yeah, you're very strong-willed. When you get something in your mind that you want, you're pretty focused. And it reminds me of the time you decided which high school you were going to go to. And within probably a few hours, without us even knowing,
late at night,
you were in your room with your computer and you filled out the high school application.
I'm such a nerd.
That the parents were supposed to fill out. You described yourself in the parents section. In other words, I supposedly was writing this. And I remember one question: how would you describe your daughter? And the answer was, she's a shining star. And
mom does say that. She calls me a bright star.
When I later saw the application, I said, you know, it's true, but I probably wouldn't have written it that way. But you got in anyway, and it was a competitive school to get into. So luckily, even though you filled out the entire application, including the parent section,
I wanted to go so bad.
It worked out for you, and it didn't, you know.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, I went to private school. I went to Montessori school from pre-K to eighth grade, and then went on to a preparatory school that I like dreamed of going to. I have no idea why. I knew like one person that went there, but I loved everything I heard about. It had an amazing theater program, sports. It had all these really cool facilities. And I was like, I really want to go. And my mom wasn't super into it. You know, she's kind of like, oh, like, are you sure? And dad was all down for it because like school.
Well, and also I knew the middle school principal for many years.
Oh,
and she
for many
years had been trying to convince us to send you and your brother there. But it was a long drive. And Montessori fit in so well. So we, by the time high school came, though, you know, I was willing for you to, happy for you to go there, because she had been telling me so many great things about the school since you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember the day after I told you guys, I was like, I applied to high school. Like, I applied to the school, and you guys were mad. You were like, how dare you? Oh my gosh, you're not going to get, well, you guys didn't say you're not going to get in, but I was like, oh my God, am I not going to get in? Cause I did it, you know, but hey, she believed she could. So she did.
You just take care of it.
Same with college applications. I was like, I did it. It happened.
Right. No, it's an example, like I said, of your strong will. And when you get something you want, you get it done.
Thank you. I can't remember what I've done it for, but I know I made slideshows for you guys about reasons I should do this or that. Like PowerPoints. I know I did, right?
Sure. All the traveling you did.
Traveling and
go places. And
oh, yeah. That's actually the next question. So when I started getting invited on like YouTube trips, or there was like YouTube conventions like Playlist Live, VidCon, were you guys nervous to let me travel for YouTube and all that? Or were you guys kind of like, okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, we weren't even so sure about this world. And then so luckily I had flexibility with my schedule. So usually I or we, sometimes we'd go as a family, you know, would just go with you. I think I traveled with you until you were like 18. I remember the last trip I traveled with you was to LA.
BeautyCon.
Was that what it was?
LA,
and then I stayed in a hotel in downtown LA, and then you would kind of come back and forth. You'd go stay with some friends.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd come in, and I was like, okay, I gotta let her go now. You know, it was like a transitioning time of allowing you to feel free, like you. But no, we stayed close watch, and we would just travel with you.
Yeah,
that was the only way to be able to do it.
Yeah, Dad, you came to an IMATS, I know for sure. And that's like in the early stages. That was the International Makeup Artist Trade Show. That was like before YouTube events were a thing. That's where all the beauty gurus would go.
Yeah, it was all very fascinating. And then we would see other parents, and then we would like immediately talk to each other.
Oh, yeah, you guys became friends.
Because it was so new that people didn't know about those things, you know? And so we'd say, well, what do you do about this? What's that all about, you know?
Yeah.
It was uncharted territory back then, for sure.
When do you guys think you realized, both of you, it could be different scenarios, when you realized like YouTube was, I don't want to say taking off for me, but like that it was like potentially like a really big opportunity for me to continue? Dad's got something.
I think when you hit 10,000 subscribers.
Oh, that was an exciting
that
day.
That was a big deal. And when we were out in public and people would start coming up to you and want to take pictures with you. that was crazy. That made us realize. And then even when you went, I guess it was later, when you went to high school, I think you had 30,000 subscribers or something.
High school was really, it was 29,000 going into high school, I remember.
But the high school magazine featured you as a freshman.
My first day of school. That was wild.
Yeah. And so, and you really rapidly took off during high school. And I realized that this was something that might, you know, be your life path. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you were so happy. Yes. And that's the main thing.
Yeah. So happy. It was so much fun. Mom's kind of similar for you?
Or? Really just the same. I more so like all of a sudden when you would be noticed when we would go out. Wild. That was like, wow, it's sort of surreal. You don't realize it, you
especially
know.
Especially at the mall when we would go to the mall. That was the biggest place.
Yeah, that was definitely, oh, this is a thing. Because like I said, this was all newer. So there wasn't any expectation. It was just, you know, you were the YouTube girl. You know, people would say that all the time. And, I'm just like, I don't know. She likes to make these videos about fashion and all this. And, you know, it's like her way of creating. Because you'd have to, and you did all that on your own. Like we had no idea how to film and edit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, kudos to you. You taught yourself how to do all of that. And so that again shows that it's part of your true passion. It's who you are. And you just love creating like that. So
it is
we're
fun.
Happy for you.
Thanks for hyping me up, you guys. So kind of on that same path, or did you have something else to say? Oh, kind of on that same path. And you can be honest, what are some pros and cons of being a parent too? An influencer, if you will. I don't know what word to use. But like, you know, any pros and cons of like what I do. It could be me taking pictures all the time or whatever.
Yeah, I would say that's the con. You know? Sometimes, you know, you're always kind of documenting
things. Totally.
As opposed to maybe just enjoying it. It seems, you know, but you know when to put the camera down and stuff. But that's, you know, you're way beyond that now, but there, you know, maybe earlier in your career,
I wasn't used to it.
Yeah. I remember we went on maybe it was a Disney cruise or Alaska cruise, and you had me follow you all around the ship taking pictures of you.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh yeah. It was my job to document.
I don't think I even had a YouTube then, so maybe it was just photos.
I don't know.
Photo shoot, Dad.
No, but and the pros are obvious, and we don't need to go over them.
Yeah. I guess
there are
the
really
cons.
Aren't and the cons, of course, are concern about your safety, you know, mm-hmm. with being like in the public, and luckily, you know, you've had very good experiences when you do meet people who know who you are.
Very good experiences. Yes. I'm so thankful, Dan Fam rocks. Yeah. Okay, so that's enough about influencer stuff. What are some weird things that I do at home or weird habits I have that maybe people don't know? Or, you know, could have to do with eating or just hanging around the house, like, or just random things I do. I know there's things. I could tell you them.
You know them yourself, huh? Okay. Do you have any?
Well... I mean, you're a little bit kind of clumsy sometimes or messy. Like, I don't know how to explain it better. Like, you don't, like, you just do things so fast and quick because you just like to get things done, which serves you. But in the process of it, it can be like a bit of a tornado, you know, like just stuff moves around, you know. So it's kind of interesting to watch, whereas I'm more like methodical and take my time to do something. But then it takes me forever to do something, whereas you can just like accomplish because you don't. You'll do the cleanup later, you know, but in the process of it, it's a bit of, you know.
I know. I make a cheese board. This. I leave everything out. And then,
like even when you do your pictures and stuff of yourself, like I'd be like ironing or wanting to steam the clothes.
Oh, no,
and
you just, like, I'm just like, I'll figure it out.
Throw it on. There's a tag hanging out. Whatever. But that's so real. You know, you're just like, oh, yeah, here. Or when you make food, you know,
I'll leave the pan out for a little. Then I'll come back to it usually. Sometimes I forget.
It's all good. I mean, that's... That's the only kind of funny stuff that's kind of behind the scenes, I guess. And you're a bit of an accumulator, a little bit. You don't
Yeah, Delaney said that.
Yeah, you're more of a maximalist than a minimalist.
Yeah, I try to. I like to think I'm a minimalist, but I'm just not.
No, you like your stuff. And when you were real young, oh my gosh, you could. I thought I could barely find you in your bedroom. I mean, there was like, there was just all your favorite stuff. You were all.
Yeah, I'm not dirty. I'm just messy.
Clutter.
Clutter. Not like nasty. Like,
no. I'm a clean. No, I don't mean that. I just,
would you say I'm a hygienic person?
Oh, definitely.
I think so. Okay,
oh, yeah, cool. For sure.
Okay, cool. cool. Well, I also thought you guys would roast me for, I don't like seafood, and my family just likes to remind me of it literally every day. Like, they just, mm-hmm. It's just funny.
I know. Well, you had a bad fish experience.
I had a bad fish experience.
Hopefully. And we live, you know, we're surrounded by water. Your brother loves to fish, and we all love seafood. So trust me, when you're not around, like, you weren't home yet. I mean, we were slamming it. We were having seafood every night.
Yeah, so you just, like, enjoy when I'm not home. Yeah, literally the night before I got back, they were like, yeah, we had shrimp last night. Oh, I'm like, good, enjoy it while I'm not here. Please do. Okay, so kind of taking a turn. So we just got a new puppy, Finley. He's asleep right now. We finally named him, you guys. We literally sat at the dinner table and we said we weren't leaving until we had a name. Like, we literally didn't. But so on that note, obviously we had Miley, a labradoodle, and now we have Finley, a golden doodle. We've got a ton of fish back there. We've had a pet chameleon named Georgia, actually, and that was before I decided I was going to UGA. So it's kind of like interesting. Mm-hmm. So, but I want you to hand the microphone to Dad. Dad, you have to tell everybody, what was the crazy animal that you wanted when you were younger as a pet?
Oh, I wanted a raccoon.
I mean, duh.
I mean, you know, why not? I mean, no, I read, you know, a book probably for school, and the title of the book was called Rascal, and it was about a raccoon, a boy who lived in the country, and it was just a great book. And then I went to the library on my own and read other fiction books about boys with their raccoons. I remember one of them was called Bandit. And I decided I wanted a raccoon, and it took a lot of campaigning. I would put little notes about raccoons, leave them under my parents' pillow so they'd see it when they go to bed.
And we wonder where Danielle got that.
Yes. So eventually my parents succumbed or caved in and said, okay, you can get a raccoon. And we actually found a pet store that was going to be able to get us one.
So unique.
Right before we were going to get it, my mother decided to go to the public library and read about raccoons. And she came home and she said, look, raccoons, they could open up your refrigerator. They're going to swing on the chandelier.
Oh, my God.
You know, we can't have a raccoon. But luckily, one of my cousin's dog had puppies at the time. And they said, but you can pick one of, you know, Uncle Johnny's puppies.
Aww,
and
much better.
And guess what his name was?
Rascal.
Rascal.
Aww.
And so that's how
in honor of the raccoon.
Right. And he was a white dog, but his around his eyes was black, and it looked like he was a raccoon.
Like a raccoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So it worked out. And but I still, to this day, if I see a raccoon in the wild, I'm kind of enamored with them. I watch them. I know a lot about them. You know, they're very smart. I think they're the third smartest mammal in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So they're very smart. And the problem is they can have a temper.
Yeah.
So, but they can make a pet, but probably not in a regular house. You got to have more like a farm or something.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just so funny.
Not on Long Island. It didn't make sense.
No, I just can't imagine you with a pet raccoon. That's just the funniest thing to me. So someone submitted a question. We're kind of just bopping all over the place, but I like this question. What was the day they dropped you off at UGA like? I mean, I remember, so you guys, we went to my dorm, met my roommate, and my roommate's family all like helped us bring everything up because I was on the fourth floor of Hill Hall. Shout out, Hill Hall, fourth floor. And I think everything just got put up right away. And then it was just kind of like, okay, did you guys, no, you guys didn't drive back that day, did you? Because it was nighttime. Maybe you were leaving the next early morning, though. I remember crying in the parking lot, but I also like wasn't worried because I like we live so close and I knew I was going to come see you guys.
Yeah, we weren't worried about you. You're very social and very, you know, you had traveled a lot already.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
And you already like kind of had friendships through the Facebook of University of Georgia a little bit.
True.
And
Brooke was there.
Oh, yeah. Brooke was there.
And, I remembered when my parents dropped me off at Clark University and they drove away and I immediately started having a great time. And then they came back an hour later, made some excuse.
Aw. And you're like, okay, bye.
But, and they saw me having a great time already. And then they left, and they must have been worried that I was going to be sitting in my room all alone or something. I don't
Aww.
Know. They saw me already having lots of friends, and then they drove off. And, that was before cell phones and computers and emails. And
right. No,
so we really were. We send letters back and forth. So with you, I knew all the fun you were going to mm-hmm. have, and I was so happy for that.
Yeah, same. I had already gotten used to you traveling and True. Doing things that I think it was kind of different. It wasn't like the first time you were going to, it wasn't your first launching. Like I had to go through more of that when you were, 14, 15, 16, we'd start going to these events and, traveling so it was easier from that perspective. Plus we knew you were in a good place. You had good, and you've got a good head on your shoulders and make good decisions. And then there's FaceTime and all that kind of stuff too. It's just so different.
You guys came back for like parents weekend and stuff. I feel like that wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was really easy.
You seemed you were content. So that's what, when you're happy, we're happy. So, and I actually lived in the dorms too, even though I stayed locally, my dad was insistent on that. And I was glad he did, because it's totally a different experience when you can live on campus.
And were you guys glad I went to UGA? Like when I was applying to all the places and I finally decided UGA, were you guys excited?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big school and I knew you wanted that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. I know you also wanted New York, and I was a little I feel like you have time for that in your life and definitely. You didn't need to go straight to New York. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know, it just has a good vibe in Athens. It's kind of more hometowny mm-hmm. and laid good back and all that. And it's a college town, a true college experience. So you wouldn't be drawn out to do all the other stuff.
City
things that you would have been there. It just kind of kept you in that college world, which you never get those years back. So just do that then, mm-hmm. now. So.
Yeah. And one of the things you said you wanted was to go to an SEC school.
I know.
And Georgia is an SEC school. And, wow, what a first year you had. They went to the national championship game and they lost in overtime. So
that was crazy. Yeah, we became a college football family because we weren't before.
True.
No, because my college didn't even have a football team. So So we adopted University of Georgia.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Yeah, it's so funny because we were always like an NFL family. And we still watch NFL, especially now that we've got like Tom Brady and Gronk and some other players on the Tampa Bay Bucks. But I definitely love watching college football now, and I think we all do too. Now Saturdays and Sundays are full of football in this house, but that's all good. So I guess we'll just end it off with, where do you see Danielle in 5 years?
Was that a question?
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I want to know what you guys think.
Well, I think you're probably going to stop before the end of 5 years and spend some time in New York City. But I don't think you'll be in New York City in 5 years. My hunch is that you'll spend a year or two or maybe three in New York City. But then I think you growing up in a house with a yard and being able to get into a car and just
I love driving.
Drive places. Mm-hmm. I think eventually you'll want that, I think. Maybe it's what I hope.
But that's what I want right now.
I think. And so I think in 5 years, you'll be in a small city or suburb of a larger city mm-hmm. and probably in a house. Maybe you'll be married. I don't know. and you might even have a little child.
No.
I don't know.
No, okay. I'll stop you at the child. Okay. Okay. Oh my God, that is so okay. young for me. All right. Personally.
Maybe that's 10 years.
And
I think you'll be doing something with
entrepreneurial YouTube,
something in the field that you're in now. And I don't know if you'll be working for a large company or doing your own thing. I really don't know how it's going to all work out, but I'm sure that you will find something that fits you well and do very well at it.
Thank you.
Hopefully continue to inspire people to live their best life too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
You probably just,
Definitely. I know you've always wanted to go to New York City, so that's going to be a part of it. And then where it goes from there, I don't know. But what I do know about you is you have very good intuition. You have your own internal drive and visionary ideas about things, so you will figure it out. Like you've never sat around and go, "Oh, I wonder what I'll do." You know, you create, you open. So I know there'll be opportunities, and just as long as you stay happy and open and excited about life, then I'm happy to see where it all leads you.
Whoa! Well, thank you guys, hyping me up. I think that was a great little episode. Did you guys have fun, Dad? How was your first time on the pod?
No, it was. Good. I mean,
give us a little update. A lot of people want to know, how do you feel? He got his first round of the vaccine.
Oh, well, I got a vaccine last Tuesday. We're recording this on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Feel fine. It was, my arm was sore for 2 or 3 days, which is a little bit more than the flu shot, but it was only sore if I touched it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it didn't hurt.
Oh, not if you moved it?
No,
oh,
it was good. Only if I touched it, but I did notice that was a little bit different. But I felt completely normal, nothing else. And it is a good feeling to know that I might even have a little bit of protection already. Mm-hmm. The flu shot I got was the Moderna shot, which requires a second shot in 4 weeks. So, and after that, within a week of the second shot, you're considered, 95% protected. But it's a nice feeling to know that I'm on my way towards, being protected.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go to work and I'm interacting with patients who I don't know if they have COVID or not,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to be as concerned for me or bring it home to people in my family, So it's a good thing. And I really hope that it's available to almost everybody by June. That's what they expect. Everybody who wants the vaccine by June should be able to get it. And I hope as many people as possible get it. If they had this in 1918, when the pandemic of 1918 occurred, so many millions of people would be alive, and their kids would be alive, and their kids would be alive right now. It'd be a different world. We have it now, and I hope people take it. It's safe, and it will end this pandemic if enough people do it.
Powerful stuff right there. Well, thank you. I know a lot of people just wanted to ask.
No, and just continued well-being for our family and mm-hmm. from thankful. Us to all of your families. We wish all of you the best and brightest 2021. And
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yes, yes. So we know it's been a hard year for everyone. Everyone's been affected. And mm-hmm. so that's why it's so powerful. So our blessings and well-being to everyone. So.
We love you guys. Thanks so much for listening, and have a happy new year. And Brooke and I will see you guys next Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, which means it's time to find a gift. I always try to decide what to get my mom because I always am so proud of what I get her, and she's always so excited. So I feel like each year it just gets hyped up more and more, and I just have to keep impressing her, even though she would literally just love a hug, probably the same as your mom's too. But I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom because she doesn't want anything. She just wants love, but she also does get excited when I give her a gift. So Macy's actually has a Mother's Day gift guide that's perfect. You can shop by price. So they have 25 and under to 100 and under. They have categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or you can use the gift list, like for the mom who has everything, or gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted, and for grandma. There's so many different options that Macy's has. Some of their top gifts are the Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven, of course. So you can shop all of this at Macy's.com/giftfinder.